Continental Tyres.
AFL Trade Radio.
The Late Trade for Chemist Warehouse. Right now at Chemist Warehouse, get free delivery within 3 hours powered by DoorDash.
T's and C's apply.
And for MEGT. Focus on your business and let MEGT recruit your next apprentice or trainee. Visit megt.com.au.
Back for the Late Trade, day two of Continental Tyres AFL Trade Radio. My name is Mitch Cleary, stepping in the seat for Damien Barrett, who'll be back tomorrow with Matt Rendell and Stephen Silvani. Big show coming up with Craig Cameron from the Gold Coast Suns. The list boss at the Gold Coast Suns to join us in the next half hour. Boys, good afternoon to you.
G'day, Mitch. How you going, Matty? Good to see you.
Going well, thank you.
Mitch.
Matty, Sauce, what have you made of this list scenario right now? We'll go off the top with the way that the clubs are structured up right now. We know that the salary cap was hit pretty hard last year with a 9% reduction at clubs. A lot of players back-ending that money into 2021 and 22. Where do we see that playing out and impacting the Continental Tyres trade period as it sits?
Yeah, obviously, you know, clubs are finding it really difficult to find list spots and move players. I guess last year was a really difficult year in terms of what happened with COVID, and also this year. They would have had to make some significant decisions in relation to maybe recontracting players in regards to the total player payments, roll them into this year. And then also, you know, the reduction of lists. I mean, there were two less list spots this year. And again, you know, going forward. So, and then they required to take three players at the national draft. So when you take those two extra list spots out, that's 36 players.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a lot of players that that have come off lists, and then the ability and the fluidness to move your list and move players around has obviously become more and more difficult.
So it's they took 9% off last year for COVID. So it's more than $1 million, isn't it? The salary cap's roughly 12, I don't know, between 12 and 13. So they've taken a million off there, and they're trying to roll it into this year and get their money back, but nothing changed.
What do you
they didn't get it back.
Yeah.
So that's why we're seeing a lack of movement at the moment, because I think I mentioned yesterday that clubs are going, it's going to be one out, one in. Not a lot of them have got a lot of money, except for the two clubs down the bottom, North and the Crows, should have a truckload in their salary cap loaded up to do stuff because of what's happened in the last 2 years.
And you probably throw – I reckon Hawthorn would have a little bit left in their cap too.
Yeah, probably Hawthorn too. We know Collingwood's really tight. They finished second bottom. So really interesting year this year, and we suspect there'll be minimal movement because of that pushback into this year of the 9%, which they didn't get the increase back up again.
Yeah, so I think it's obviously, you know, the total player payments and spots being list numbers being reduced.
Yeah, Hawks as well, with Tom Scully and John Patton retiring early. Yeah, they left money behind.
And I still reckon maybe Essendon might have some money there.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think they've obviously gone after Jake Kelly, and I think he's committed to as a free agent, but they would have moved some money out of their cap last year with their three. There was
Saad,
Danaher, and also Fantasia. So, you know, they'd have some money.
It would have been nearly $2 million out last year.
Possibly.
Really.
Yeah, possibly.
Well, put it this way. They would have budgeted for 700 for both Danaher and Saad. So it was a bit less. And they're not paying Peter Wright.
No.
So he'd be
Suns
way down on
that
middle.
Wage.
Suns paying
so someone. Who did they bring in last year? There was Wright. Who were the other players? Because they obviously were after Dunkley and they missed out on him.
And Nick Hine comes in as a bargain baseman.
Yeah, bargain baseman. So really, you know, possibly, they probably would have gone at Dunkley maybe around the six 700 mark for him to try.
Yeah, 700
and get
for five,
yeah,
I think.
So
yeah.
They've saved 700 last year.
Yeah.
By not getting him, they've offloaded the other players for picks, and really they really haven't gone out and spent this year. So, you know what, they might be queuing up next year for, you know, a couple of, you know, free agents or a player they really do need,
and
a key position player.
No, Adrian Dodoro, Sauce, he'll be sitting there waiting.
Yeah.
I've got some money here.
He doesn't like spending.
He's tight as a drum. But he will be waiting and go, oh, someone might have to tip out someone good for their salary cap. I'll just lurk around the edges and pinch him about 5-2 on closing day.
Well, Ben King's one. We're going to be linking to the Essendon Footy Club for the next 12 months. Keen to hear what Craig Cameron, the list boss at the Gold Coast Suns, has to say about Ben King and where those things sit.
Yeah, well, I mean, not just Ben King from Gold Coast. They've got Lukosius coming out.
Rankin.
And Rankin coming out and a few others. So, you know, the next 12 months is really important for that football club, that they can actually get a couple their young talent signed.
But they need to. They just need to hold them. I mean, we've been through this before with them, and they haven't been able to hold them. So it's crucial this time round. How many rebuilds are we going to go through if they can't hold their young kids this time?
I think the issue a little bit with the Gold Coast is from a player perspective, and being a player, you want to see the hope there that we're building something special.
Mm.
So really, I think one of the keys for that club to re-sign their players is that they've got to be on the fringe of playing finals. So if they could play finals next year, that would be fantastic. Mm. I reckon you'd see a really positive result coming out of there. But if they're bottom two, bottom three again, it's going to be really, really difficult. So You've got to give the playing group some hope, and that they're building something special. So this next 12 months is really important for that football club.
Yeah, for its survival. Honestly, I don't see them being in the top three. I thought they were this year was the first time that they actually finished a season really well. They had a couple of bad losses, but they finished the season much better than they have any other year, I would have thought. So I thought that was really encouraging. They've gone and got some tough players, but they lost four blokes. I think it was four blokes with knees. So Butterick's a good small back. They lost him. They lost Witts, their ruckman, and then they lost their backup ruckman in Zach Smith. He was injured, and then they lost their backup ruckman,
Matt Conroy,
and their part timer in Sam Day,
and then Matty Rowe obviously missed most of the year, and when he came back, he sort of looked off the pace a little bit. So it's important they can get him to where he started his career.
I'm sure
the year before.
And they racked Burgess.
Yeah.
Who's about a 190 centimetre.
Matty Rendell, your famous list committee, you'll be putting the Gold Coast Suns and the Adelaide Crows under the microscope a little later today. So we'll stick around for that, plus their list boss at the Suns, Craig Cameron, to join us in 20 minutes or so. Just back to the salary cap situation. Can you get your take, guys? So clubs are always going to prioritise superstars. Who are the losers out of this scenario with the 9% plus the money rolled over that players have had to take pay cuts? Is it the middle tier guys that are just going to get squeezed out and a lack of opportunity at other clubs we're seeing over the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, I think the better players are always going to get paid well. So they're pretty much the players that the supporters come and watch, and they love watching the superstars play. It's probably middle tier to lower end. Where you might have a player on your list that is making up your list, but he's serviceable, where he might be on 130 grand base plus matches. Well, he might be getting 100 now. He's lost 30 grand, and that's all we can pay you. So they're probably the ones where you have four or five of those players on your list, and you're saving yourself $150,000, $200,000 by really cutting their wage back significantly.
Yeah, it's interesting. So people like Luke Dunstan had his best year this year. He might struggle to get a gig somewhere. Look, he's going to go, and if he does, he's going to go on the lowest base, and not only him, Ben Long, who looked good in the forward line for him, same situation. We know St Kilda are going to be tight in their cap. So there's going to be a lot of those type of players, and a lot of them are inside mids that are going to get squeezed out, and they're going to get replaced by kids who are going to go on the 80 grand or whatever it is a year. So the draft's interesting. I'm hearing that probably only 55 again this year because of the lack of information, the lack of viewing. A lot of the Victorian kids have played, someone told me, an average of 6.7 games over 2 years. Mm. Extraordinary low amount of viewing for recruiters to pick players. So it's interesting to see if they go low again on the numbers, that who's going to fill these list spots at the end. There'll be people out of the VFL on low payments and maybe some delistings that on low payments.
And clubs have to take three players per club at the moment at the NAB AFL draft this year. Last year it was just one. And this year it's going to be a big rise for those clubs that may not have seen the players, as you say, Matty, that they would have wanted to have seen and gone and scouted them. And it's going to impact list decisions. We know Gold Coast, we'll hear from Craig Cameron in just a moment. They've got every senior listed player signed up for next year. Malcolm Roses is the last, but it looks like he will extend. So they're going to have to delist and re-rookie a few of these guys just to make spots on their list.
And we'll ask him about that, but I'm hearing a couple that they've already earmarked to go onto their rookie list. And what we were talking about the advantage, they got 10 rookie spots, haven't they? Which is extraordinary.
Which is a huge advantage.
Yeah.
Like huge. Particularly, look, I'm not too sure how much football they played up in Queensland this year. But to have your own backyard and know what's going on up there, there's every chance that really a lot of clubs wouldn't have seen what was going on up in Queensland because you just can't travel. Sure, you've got your spotters up there, but often you'd like, you know, your senior recruiter to at least see him once or twice over a year.
They never got to Perth. You're relying on your locals there. They hardly got to Adelaide, but at the start of the year. They're watching them off vision. They're going to pick players off fishing for the first time in there. Well, they did it last year, so second time.
This is the Late Trade for MEGT, your local apprenticeship expert since 1982, and Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day. Before we get to a break and take some calls on the Kogan Mobile open line, just keen to get your take on the Western Bulldogs, guys. Tim English's name has come up. He's got a contract for next year, but looking at the Western Bulldogs and their list of players out of contract at the end of 2022, Sam Power and their list management team are going to have to be very busy this off-season locking away some of these players. So Tim English is one of those. Bailey Dale is another. Caleb Daniel, Josh Dunkley, Jason Johannesson, Alex Keith, Jackson McRae, Toby McLean, Bailey Smith. There's some good names among those players. Where do you see the Dogs list going to here? And importantly, Tim English, given he was, overwhelmed in the grand final in the ruck.
I didn't think he had a really poor grand final, Tim English. I don't think it was, you know, a disastrous grand final. I reckon there were players that didn't perform. There were players that he wasn't the only player that had sort of a game that was below par.
Yeah.
But for some reason, there's a big focus on him. And that probably, you know, they're probably looking at him, hoping that he would have come on a lot quicker. And it's really difficult with those ruckmen. I think ruck is the hardest position to play on the ground. Maybe centre-half forward is the other one. But ruck it's a physically draining position to play. Mm. And obviously, you know, he's at 23, 24 years of age at the minute. So it's an interesting one. And this is only, I guess, rumour in terms of are they really happy with the way he has progressed. There's some talk that, you know, they would have liked him to come on a lot quicker. There's some talk that does he want to go back to Perth? So it's really, are they going to make a call on him, knowing that there's every chance he could go back to Perth at the end of next year? Is his value better now than it is at the end of next year? Is there someone out there that would like someone like a Tim English? And can the Bulldogs get something in to replace him that might be equivalent or even better going forward, knowing that, you know, they're going to bring Darcy through the national draft, who potentially is a young ruckman forward coming through the in the coming years?
Yeah, it's always it's no different from any sport around the world. If especially EPL soccer or soccer in Europe, really, you don't want them to get out of contract because their value goes down on trading is massive. You want to try and trade them out.
It's really
to get a better price, and that's the same with this year.
Yeah,
you want to, if you're going to trade, think you're going to trade someone out at the end of next year, and they got a year to go, trade them out now.
But Matt, you look at someone like a Hickey that started Gold Coast.
Yep.
Went to St Kilda, went to West Coast, went to Sydney, and he was almost like the recruit of the year up there. So it's interesting, those tall ruckmen, they can take a while to develop. You know,
Tim English is 10 years younger than Stephen Martin.
Yeah.
10 years.
So it's a big call if they do move him on, or whether he wants to move. He may choose to say, well, listen, I've had enough here. Can I get a trade to a club of my choice? But we often react quickly after one game. Look, particularly after a grand final. It's like, okay, this bloke's no good, or this bloke, oh, You know, is he going to be up to it? Purely because all the focus comes down to the last day, in, last Saturday in September, and we analyse and we pick their weaknesses. You know,
yeah,
and it's difficult on those players.
I'm not judging him on the one game. I thought he was also okay, but he's never going to be your main ruckman. He just doesn't compete well enough for long enough as your main ruckman. So you can talk about him. He's been there 4 years. He's a big, skinny kid. I remember watching him in a college game when we were trying to sneak him through the back door at Collingwood, and it was a major stuff-up with which club he was actually attached to. I'll tell that story another day. I think I told it last year anyway, but I don't think he's ever going to be your number one ruckman. And then you look at someone like Draper at Essendon, and your first time you see him play, and you go, there's your number one ruckman in one game.
Yeah.
So there's a big difference in that competitiveness. And Draper's competitiveness is way over the top. Tim English, and he's had enough time to get there. I see him as being that second ruck forward. He can do some damage forward, but I can't see him being your number one ruck.
It's probably, when you look at that number one ruck position, it's probably the first time in a long time, I can't remember the last time, but someone like a Max Gawn, who was generally the All-Australian ruckman, that the All-Australian ruckman has actually played in a winning grand final team. I can't remember the last
2006, Dean Cox.
Dean Cox was. Well,
yeah. 2006, okay, you've already done some
study. Well, we did some numbers on that a few weeks ago.
Was Darren Jolly All-Australian when Collingwood won theirs?
Good question.
I don't think so.
So the last premiership ruckman before Max Gawn to have won, to have been the number one ruckman, or to have been a All-Australian was Dean Cox in 06. I'll check the Jolly one.
I did a little study on that when I was at Collingwood and went back 10-odd years, and they were all the ruckmen, and nearly every team had two of them, but they were all honest competitors and not really stars. Even, you know, Grundy, All-Australian, was he All-Australian 18? Yeah, he was All-Australian 18. And they nearly win the flag, so they were a kickoff that changing. But, you know, Lysette and Vardy came in and just competed with him and made sure he couldn't do what he was good at. And so they won a flag with Lysette and Vardy. You wouldn't say they're knocking the lights out as being a superstar ruckman. Lysette's probably in the middle of the pack there in the AFL at the moment.
So, Matty, where do you see obviously, you've done ruck coaching.
Mm.
At what age is it like that you virtually become, by this age, you should be really competing as a number one ruckman and physically?
Oh, 22. So I give 4 years I give to get your body up to speed. So when you say body up to speed, to get that physicality in your body, to get that strength where you can push and shove, continually push and shove, that's what you're doing a lot of all day. I always said 4 years, give me 4 years, but someone like Draper was physically already a big boy, wasn't he? So that's probably why he got up to speed quicker. Someone like English, you've got to say, oh, maybe five. Maybe a six at worst, you know, 24, 25. Sometimes the game just takes a long while for the penny to drop mentally for a lot of players. You know, they're just happy to mose along and something happens or someone goes down injured and your team needs you and you accept that responsibility and you grow with it. You see that happen a lot. Key forwards and key backs are same sauce. We used to say, I mean, how long did it take you to get up to speed as a key back?
To feel comfortable, I reckon 23, 24 years of age.
So it was about five or six.
That you could say, like, physically I can sort of match it against the real key defenders.
Did you ever match it against Plugger?
I played on him plenty of time. Not physically. but it is. It's. See, I'm a little bit more patient. I see that the kids' maturity is so different. You know, I spoke the other day, you know, about you look at how long it took Petrarca for the penny to drop in terms of professionalism, you know, and Oliver, and it, I don't know what it is, but is it a weight of numbers at your football club? Is it culturally what it is? Mm. That's the big thing. The benefit of winning flags, I reckon, and how it's done. Is that culturally, can you hand those experience down to those younger players, and how long can we sustain that type of thing? the most difficult thing, really, I think, you look at the teams that are trying to rebuild. If you haven't got those real elite leaders showing the right way, that's the difficulty. You know, that's to be able to culturally pass it on. Ooh. So I don't know. I've gone off the track there.
But, no, we love
but
it.
It takes time,
There's a lot of issues, isn't there? Really,
I think patience. Mm. As long as they're willing to work, and you see an appetite them for wanting to improve, I would always back the player in. If that appetite is not there.
Absolutely.
They're willing to work and get better at what your weakness is. Because every player has a weakness. Mm. The quicker you understand what that weakness is, the quicker you're going to become a better player or reach the levels you should.
Plenty of issues to delve into here on The Late Trade. All thanks to MEGT, your local apprenticeship expert since 1982, and Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day. Your calls after this. James in Caulfield and Max in Williams Landing. We'll get to you here on The Late Trade.